Well, hi everyone. I hope you're having a great conference so far. It really is such a big opportunity for me to be here and to present to all of you today. So my name is Lauren Tanyag, and I am a systems engineer from REA Group in Melbourne, Australia. And I'm here to talk to you about mentoring from a mentee's perspective. So just a little bit of a background about my company. I am from REA Group. And REA Group is a digital advertising company that specializes in property. So our main website in Australia is realestate.com.au, but we do own other websites around the globe. You might be familiar with some of the logos on the screen. And before I became a systems engineer in REA Group, I was actually a part of REA Group's graduate program. So in REA Group, we have this thing called a graduate program where for 18 months, my fellow graduates and I were able to join multiple teams and just learn from them. No expectations of delivery, just peer learning and upskilling. And in REA, mentoring and career growth is a very big part of their culture. So mentoring in technology. You see, a little bit of my background. I actually came from an almost zero tech environment. What I mean by that is, growing up, I didn't have any access to any consoles or any PCs to play with my friends. I played in the streets. I didn't have any phones or the internet to talk to my long-distance relatives and friends. I had to use a pen and paper and send them by post. And whenever I needed to do research for school or any academic purposes, I had to use the library. I didn't have access to search engines such as Google. And this is actually what drove me into studying technology. So I went to university, I came to Australia, accessed my laptop for the first time, went to the internet for the first time, and I got curious how everything works. So I pursued it in university. But of course, the learning curve was a little bit steep, and the journey wasn't really that smooth sailing. Well, not at the start anyway. So when I was in university, I had to do an internship or a work experience. It was mandatory. I guess it was good because the uni wanted us to have a bit of experience in industry before we actually set foot and graduate. But I remember back then, my choices on which companies I could go to for work experience was quite limited, or maybe I was just not aware of other options. So I went to one, and I remember from day one realizing how very different school is from the industry. I remember having no idea what people expect from me and what I should be expecting from other people. And then, after my first week of inductions, I thought, I'm meant to know everything by now. Why don't I know everything? Then every day, my boss would come up to my desk and tell me what to work on, without really unpacking the problem for me. So in university, we're used to working with small project applications, small, tiny applications. However, in the industry, I quickly realized that most of the time, you work with really massive software architecture or mature software. I remember sitting on my desk one day, reading thousands and thousands of lines of code within hundreds of directories, not knowing which one to change, just to tweak a little button in the web page. I had no vision of what my career would look like. I had nobody helping me out. Everybody was just too busy. And I remember thinking back then, I can't be doing this for the next 10 years of my life, to a point that I actually considered changing careers. However, I went back to university, and I only had 1 year to go, so I thought, I might as well keep going. I gave it another chance, and I graduated, and I worked as a graduate for REA Group. And it turns out, in REA Group, like I mentioned before, mentoring and career growth is a very big part of their culture. So it was a much different experience for me. In REA, I was a mentee and I had mentors. And in REA, they make it a part of their commitment to create an environment where mentoring and career growth is much supported. So it's actually a part of people's commitments to mentor and help out other people. So from day one, where school is different from the industry, in REA, they acknowledge that school is different from the industry. They provided lots of coaching. They provided lots of in-house training. So there's actually people in REA that volunteers to run these trainings, that volunteers to coach other people. They also introduced this concept of ticket vouchers, where essentially a ticket is a topic or a problem that you might be interested in learning how to solve. And the way you can claim this ticket is by going up to the person that it's assigned to and asking them to book in some time with you and teach you all about it. This is actually how I got my first exposure to AWS, so Amazon Web Services. I had a ticket that says, learn all the things cloud. So I went up to the person that it's assigned to and I asked them, can you teach me all the things cloud? So I booked in a time with him and he taught me the basics of how the cloud works, basics of AWS, and yeah, it was great. But still, I had no idea what people were expecting from me or what I should be expecting from other people. However, in REA, my first team at the time told me that they don't really expect me to know everything. They provided lots of encouragement, told me to take it easy, take your time, you'll get there eventually. You don't have to know everything right now. Which is really cool because instead of worrying over the littlest things, you can focus on upskilling, on just pure growth. Then, after a few weeks or months in the company, I still have this feeling that I meant to know everything by now. It was frantic. But then my first manager actually introduced me to this concept of 666. I know it's a bad number, but hear me out. So essentially what he means is that on your first 6 days, they don't really expect you to know everything. On your first 6 weeks, you think you know what you're doing, but no, you actually don't. And then on your first 6 months, you think you know what you're doing, and yeah, you actually might. I know it might not sound super convincing that what, after 6 months you might know what you're doing, you're not 100% sure you know what you're doing. But his point was, the time spent after that, you spend it on continuous learning, on continuous growth. He told me that everybody in the company is still learning. And believe me, I was actually mind blown. I thought that everybody in the company was a bunch of gurus already, that have such a long way to go before I reach that stage. So I felt a bit of a sense of belonging because everybody's also learning, like me. And then instead of my boss walking up to my desk every day telling me what to work on, they did things a little differently. So they did it this way. In the pool of work available, what are you interested in learning how to solve the most? Go grab that work, grab a pair, and solve it together. So pairing is essentially when you have another person, usually from your team, and you work on a single problem together. You unpack it together, you solve it together. So this is cool, because unlike my previous work experience where I was just by myself struggling in the dark, no help, I had somebody who was helping me out. So my second experience was a lot better compared to the first. This is because I've got all these people surrounding me, encouraging me, pointing me to do trainings, people who are running the trainings, pairing, coaching with me, people who are mentors. But what is a mentor? So, according to dictionary.cambridge.org, a mentor is a person who gives a younger or less experienced person help and advice over a period of time. So most of the time, we translate this as somebody who is senior, somebody who's experienced, somebody who's been in the industry for a long period of time. However, I posted the exact same question to a pool of grads in the industry, put it in a survey, gathered all their answers, put in a word cloud, and I got this. So straight away, you'll notice the words such as career, vision, help, guidance, direction, they stand out way more than words such as technical, knowledgeable, direct. It doesn't even mention anything about a mentor being experienced. So to unpack this a little bit further, I chatted to a few more mentees in the industry. And take note, mentees comes in different shape and form. Mentees are not just grads, they're not just juniors. I was chatting to a mentee who's been in the industry for over 10 years, but still look up to their mentor for advice. And essentially, they all share the same vision. A mentor is someone who's willing and someone who cares, someone that has a vision for your career and will spend their time to guide you, to empower you. So, if you are in this talk, then you're probably already considering to be a mentor, or maybe you're already a mentor. Because as mentees, essentially, I feel that anybody, as long as they have the right mindset, could be a good mentor. Because as mentees, our expectations are not really high. We're already so grateful that despite your busy schedules, you choose to spare some time to impart your knowledge upon us. We don't really expect much anymore. You don't have to be experienced at mentoring either. If this is something that bothers you, then ask for feedback. If you're doing something well, keep doing it. If you're doing something bad, then work on it. It's also important to give honest feedback back to your mentees. Honesty results to trust. Both of you can grow. It's also not uncommon for both the mentor and the mentee to not know what to do, to not be able to solve a certain problem. That's okay too. You both can venture the realms together and ask for other people's advice, people who's done it before. It's always so much better to venture the darkness with a companion than by yourself. You don't have to be knowledgeable at all aspects either. If your mentee is asking you for a certain problem or advice over a certain topic that you might not know how to tackle, just point them to the right direction and off they go. What I mean by that is most of the time, you would know better who is the best person that your mentee can talk to about a particular topic or a particular subject that you might not know how to tackle. But obviously, afterwards, ask them how it went. Always show compassion. Mentees really appreciate it when we see that our mentors actually care. And lastly, perspective. So mentees may not be looking for perspective at the start, but essentially, mentoring is predominantly all about perspective. The most valuable thing that a mentor can offer their mentee is their perspective in things, in situations. So, as mentees, we really appreciate all the help that our mentor give us. When you're stuck in the darkness, like I was in my previous experience, any kind of help would do. However, if you're interested to find out what kind of mentoring styles work for people, I also had a poke with a few mentees in the industry about this, and I managed to extract three main mentoring styles. And they are one-on-one mentoring, group learning sessions, and casual pairing. So the main difference between these three mentoring styles is their structure and frequency. What do I mean by that? So one-on-one mentoring is when you've got one mentor and one mentee. And you schedule regular catch-ups together, call it sessions. So some mentors and mentees really like this because whatever the mentor will teach the mentee, it will be tailored to that mentee's needs. And because the catch-ups happens regularly, you can follow up on what you did on the previous catch-ups, or are things better now? Have you applied what I advised you? It also forms a stronger bond between both mentee and the mentor. The second one is group learning sessions. This is kind of like a one-to-many approach where you have one mentor teaching a group of mentees. So some mentors really like this because if there's a couple of mentees that are interested over one topic, they can make a more efficient use of their time by just scheduling a group learning session and teaching all of them at the same time. So they can channel their knowledge to a larger pool of people all at once. Some mentees actually like this because there's a lot less pressure from them. They have a bunch of other students in the class that they can speak to at the end of the session, and it's a lot less intimate as well. but unlike one-on-ones, it's a little bit less tailored to the mentee's needs. Then the last one is casual pairing sessions. So similar to what I said about pairing before, this is when you're interested in learning about a particular topic or how to solve a particular problem. You grab that work, you grab another person from usually from your team, usually has a little bit more experience on how to solve that topic, and you just pair on it. So you unpack it together, you solve it together, and you learn from them. You learn how they tackle or solve that particular problem. So some mentors and mentees really like this because it requires a lot less preparation from both parties. So, and it's a lot more in action as well. So you're solving real live problems that your team is having. I posted the three mentoring styles as a survey with a few mentees in our company, and I asked them to rank it. I said, with these three mentoring styles, rank it 1 to 5. 1 being I don't really learn with this, 2, 5 being I learn best with this. I got 11 participants, and I got the following results. Ooh, that's a bit blurred. So one-on-one mentoring has an average of 4.55 out of 5, 5 being I learn best with this, followed by casual pairing sessions with 4.27, then group learning sessions with 3.09. Some people even suggested mentoring over coffee. So what that means is I want advice over a specific problem, how to manage my time properly, I'll shout you coffee. Let's talk about it over coffee. So mentoring doesn't even have to be as formal as one-on-one mentoring sessions. It could be as casual as just going out for lunch with your mentee and giving them advice over a specific topic. But obviously, with great power comes great responsibility. So as mentors, if you are to try mentoring, we always have to be aware of our responsibilities. And there's three main things that you have to remember. So the first one is honesty. So with whatever advice or whatever example you give to your mentee, just make sure you're honest about it. Make sure they're actually honest examples, real examples. The second one is biases. I know it might be a little bit hard when you're giving an advice to somebody to be a little bit biased about it. However, try to acknowledge your biases. Let your mentee form their own opinion. And the last one is, if you are going to teach your mentee something, make sure you're teaching them the right thing. Because then it causes root propagation. What I mean by that is that the moment you started teaching your mentee something that's wrong, the moment your mentee goes off to teach another person that particular topic, they will also teach them the wrong thing. So it causes propagation. And with this in mind, you'll be great at what you do. And really, good mentors comes from those that has been mentored before. It's always so much easier to pass on the good deed if you've been fortunate enough to have received it in the past. So if you don't already, I really encourage everybody to put your foot forward and start mentoring. Because really, mentoring can help us grow. I know this phrase must be old by now, but teaching is still the best way to learn. So I was chatting to one of the mentees from ThoughtWorks, which is another tech company, and she told me, if people give me something, I want to give back. My mentor has spent so much time giving me her knowledge, imparting her knowledge on me. I want to be a mentor too. So your mentor becomes your role model. So after 1 year of being a graduate at REA Group, I started doing casual mentoring. So with the new generations of grads that come in the company, I started doing coffee catch-ups with them, lunches, and just doing casual mentoring, giving them tips and advice on how it's like to be a grad in REA Group. I started teaching in our in-house AWS training, and I started coaching in external meetups such as DevOps Girls in Melbourne. And then 1 year later, I noticed that these grads that I taught 1 year ago have started doing the same thing. They also started looking after the next generations of grads that came into REA. They started teaching in our in-house trainings. They started doing talks in conferences in Melbourne. So it was a lot of hard work at the start, but to see your work propagate, it really is such a great feeling. And to have all these mentees coming up to you saying that they're inspired, it just feels so rewarding. So I really encourage everybody to try mentoring, and let's try build a better learning environment in our communities together. So not just in our workplaces, but in our communities. So thank you.